Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Mental health awareness, it's something we often discuss, isn't it? And we often hear about it. But what do we actually mean when we talk about it? And whose responsibility is it? To talk more about this, I'm joined in the studio by Dr. Harry Barry, GP and mental health specialist. And from our Limerick studio by Dr. Anne-Marie Craven from the Department of Psychology at the University of Limerick. And you're both welcome. It's good to have you back with us again. Harry, will you explain to us what this sometimes hackneyed term means, mental health awareness?
I think technically it's defined as ongoing efforts to reduce the stigma around mental illness and mental health conditions by sharing our personal experiences. That's the technical definition.
Okay.
I'm afraid I'm very bold.
You have your own definition.
I have my own definition, which to me, it's all about equipping young people with the information and tools necessary to look after their mental health. That's my key thing. How to recognise the symptoms of common conditions, especially depression, anxiety, but especially depression. And most of all, really, how to manage these conditions, you know, and how to be open to share these, their concerns and difficulties with our fellow peers and with our parents and with friends, etc. So for me, mental awareness is much more about having a much more holistic or broader or wider understanding of what our mental health really is all about. And the importance, as we'll talk about maybe later, of lifestyle and emotion resilience in that.
Okay, and you're big on resilience.
So I definitely want to come back to that.
So when we hear a lot of talk about mental health and mental health awareness, Anne-Marie, what impact do you think that has, all of the chat around it?
Yeah, so one obvious impact is that people will be more aware and they might be better able to identify symptoms of mental health conditions that they have. And there might be supports and treatments I can look into. So that's probably a real benefit of mental health awareness efforts. Now, I would have a slightly more critical view of mental health awareness efforts more generally, because there can be some downsides. And this is an emerging area that hasn't been well studied yet, but we're seeing more and more discourse in the UK, for example, that says we should think a little bit about how we are doing mental health awareness to avoid some of those downsides. So one potential downside is that mild forms of distress, so your everyday stress, your ups and downs of life, that people experience these and then identify these as being part of a bigger, significant issue that needs treatment. And of course, we all experience ups and downs in life. Not every day can be perfect. Awareness efforts, while generally beneficial, they can lead some people to interpret this mild distress as a significant issue. And then because of that, it might affect how they see themselves and their behaviours, and it might lead to them developing mental health challenges down the line.
Okay, so it becomes self-fulfilling almost.
It can. So if you take, for example, the return to school, all right, so somebody might be a little bit stressed about that. They might have some feelings of anxiousness or nerves. They're aware that lots of people that they look up to, celebrities, for example, have been really open about their mental health challenges. And they might think, you know what, this feeling I'm feeling now, I must have anxiety as well. So they have this very mild, entirely natural nervousness. They label it as anxiety because that's what they know. And then the next time they feel nervous, they think, well, I'm this person with anxiety then, this is my identity now, and this is how I'll interpret these feelings. And they might go on to describe those feelings to friends and they receive some attention for that. They describe it at home, they receive concern, and they see the concern and think, okay, you know, these nerves are something to be concerned about. So what can start as really natural nerves about a school transition can become a way of thinking in theory that has shaped how a person goes about their life. And this really is an emerging area. We don't have evidence for this yet, but people are raising concerns that those milder forms of distress can be over-pathologized and over-medicalized in our mental health awareness efforts. So we need to be careful about how we do it.
Yeah, it's really interesting when you set it out like that. And Harry's sitting here in front of me nodding in agreement there.
Absolutely. The first thing I would say, I couldn't agree more with Anne-Marie. I think she's put her finger on something very important here, that we don't really yet appreciate the difference between mental illness and emotion distress. Now, the vast majority, I would say almost 90% of what we're seeing in our schools, amongst our young people, is actually emotion distress. It's not actually mental illness. Mm-hmm. Mental illness is very serious stuff, like, you know, bipolar disorder, psychosis, OCD, very serious stuff. So most of the time we're dealing with anxiety. Like, I've often talked to principals and deputy principals and guidance counsellors, and they say, God, if I hear the word anxiety one more time. And Anne-Marie is quite right. It is totally normal for all of us to be anxious. It's only when that anxiety reaches a point where, for example, we're having significant panic attacks or major phobias or serious social anxiety, does it start to become really a significant
issue. So we're making young people anxious about having feelings of anxiety.
I agree with that. I think Anne-Marie is totally correct that there, it is normal for all of us, particularly in adolescence, when we're comparing ourselves and we're trying to come out into the world, or we have the adolescent brain, which we've talked about. All these factors make us more anxious. But what worries me slightly is that we're talking about anxiety, but we're not teaching young people skills, do you know what I mean, to manage that. I'm a great believer in, you know, you don't give the person food, you teach them how to fish or
yes.
how to. So my whole approach to this is we should be changing the way we teach young people more about themselves, their body, their brain, how their brain is clicked into their stress system, how it's normal when we're anxious to pump out adrenaline and cortisol, these hormones, and what these do in the body, and how to manage those.
Like, so would you be concerned then that we're good at putting a label on the
yes,
problems,
absolutely,
but not good at telling people how to get to
absolutely.
The point where it becomes easy to deal with those
issues. I think Anne-Marie has put her finger on a really important point here. Do you know what I mean? But I think apart from that, we have to be careful though in the midst of that not to miss genuine depression, which is a serious condition. And we're not talking here about just having a bad day or low mood. Remember that 25% of people between 15 and 18 will have their first bout of depression. And in my experience, the vast majority of those are never picked up. And so amidst the, you know, all the excitement about anxiety and stress and emotion distress, and all, there are these here and there, young people really distressed, you know, seriously yeah. distressed.
Anne-Marie, do you want to come back in?
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what's really, really difficult for parents and teachers. Because, of course, among right all this low-level distress, you have some people who have genuine issues. And adolescence is a time where people are more vulnerable to the development of significant mental health challenges. And I suppose we need to equip parents and teachers with a way of distinguishing that. So they can't be expected to be clinical psychologists or psychiatrists, but they need to be able to offer low-level support when it's needed so that the people who really do need more intensive support can have a better chance of accessing that and that it can be better recognised. And I think when we talk about mental health awareness more generally, it often does seem to be about mood and emotions. And then we don't get to talk. We actually take space away from talking about more significant issues for some people, like eating disorders, for example, definitely are not discussed as much, even though adolescence is a vulnerable time there and they're quite significant and have a significant mortality issue associated. So I think it's a really, really challenging for any teachers and parents listening to figure out what to do about that. And that's something I think collectively we need to get better at putting supports in place for people to negotiate this issue.
Okay, let's talk, Harry, and you touched on this earlier, about promoting mental health awareness so it reaches the right people. And that means talking not about the labels, as we
yes,
discussed,
absolutely.
But how to get to a point where you can deal with the everyday stresses that do make you feel anxious, that might make you feel down, but are quite normal.
Well, the first thing, I think schools have a great role to play here, and parents, by the way, but and maybe together. But if we had, for example, regular small group discussions in schools where we bring up common issues that would be happening for them and get them to problem solve. I've done this actually. Get them to problem solve the issues themselves in order to discuss them. Because suddenly when we start all discussing and we all realise we're all having the same problem, now we're doing it in a group. So I'm not singling myself out, you know what I mean? So I think that's really important. I think we must provide proper information though. We have to have you know, more expert people coming in, giving specific information on things like depression and things like that. Not necessarily people coming in from the outside who don't know what they're talking about. Who might be talking
or
about
TikTok,
their experiences
on TikTok,
or on TikTok and all the rest of it. We need proper, genuine information. I think parents need to kind of step up to the plate here and realise that they have a role in identifying, for example, what are the symptoms of depression? Do you want me to list them off for you? Just I think maybe just very quickly for any parents out there, If you find that your young person is suddenly seems to be almost going into reverse, their mood seems down, they seem very tired, they're not sleeping, they're not eating properly, they seem to have shrunk in their cognitive ability. That's a critical thing to understand. Your cognition, your attention, your concentration, your focus. If you notice suddenly a kid who's doing really well and suddenly they're sliding right back, unless they're using drugs or something like that, think of depression. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes even just having the discussion, you know, you don't seem to be in a good place at the moment. Do you know what I mean? And leaving the young person the chance to, and very often the young person is actually delighted to be able to do it. The other issues, maybe Anne-Marie wants
to... What I wanted to ask you about is really getting to the point of prevention by emphasising the importance of getting outside, exercising, keeping your diet on track.
Absolutely. There are four things I'd like to talk about briefly. Exercise, 30 minutes brisk exercise every day. Sleep, make sure you get 9.5 to 10 hours sleep a day. Technology, have a real good discussion amongst yourselves and your families about the use of social media, and be careful about the use of alcohol and drugs. But I would love to throw in four emotion resilience exercises out of possible 20. I'm just going to mention them. Self-acceptance. If we could teach our young people self-acceptance, my God, the amount of difficulties we would have would be brilliant. Learning how to fail. Our young people do not know how to fail. We need to teach them that failing is normal and we all mess up all the time. I'm the chief bottle washer in that area. Learning to stop catastrophizing. Teaching young people how to stop catastrophizing. That's a skill. It's a simple skill. And lastly, and most importantly, the one that I would love to see most taught in schools is how to manage the physical symptoms of anxiety.
Okay, and we could keep going, but we don't have the time. Anne-Marie and Harry Berry, thank you so much for being with us today. And that is all we have time for. You can go to the RTÉ Radio app to catch up. And if you found anything distressing in what we have spoken about there, there's more information on rte.ie/helplines. All of the information and phone numbers there that you need. The programme today was produced by Rachel Graham, researched by Emma Cawley, our broadcast coordinator, Jarlath Holland. James Feeney was on sound, and it's over to Louise.